time. Stay tuned.
Cocktails and cannabis, that's all that's running through my mind, I say.
You know, I think I'll just leave that in. Welcome back, Jillian Bowe. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hi, I'm joking. How are you?
Good. We just got done recording a Riverdale episode for the Geek Confidential podcast where you got to dish about your epic soapy love for Archie, Veronica, and Betty. If you haven't checked out the Geek Confidential podcast, be sure to do that because Jamie was our special guest star.
But, and watch Riverdale. I need the ratings to get better.
It started? Oh, I didn't know it started already.
Well, they aired it up against Shonda. I'm like, y'all don't put no new show up against Big Sean. Come on now.
I didn't know it aired already. I thought it was Thursday.
Look, I'm making myself a I'm making myself a de facto ambassador because the show is that good. You can download. Look, you be proud of me, Luke. So I downloaded the little CW Now app on my phone, and I watched it in bed. I was like, look at me. I am Mark Zuckerberg. I am Jeff Bezos. I am a tech mogul. I downloaded the app by myself and watched it.
In your boxers. Okay.
Why are you so concerned about his draws, though?
Let's talk about the Daytime Emmy pre-nominations, which were announced this last week. They gave us the 6 acting categories. The nominees, or the pre-nominees, I should say, for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series, Christian Alfonso, Days of Our Lives, Sharon Case, The Young and the Restless, Melissa Claire Egan, The Young and the Restless, Mary Beth Evans, Days of Our Lives, Nancy Lee Grand, General Hospital, Jen Lilly, Days of Our Lives, Gina Tognoni, The Young and the Restless, Heather Tom, The Bold and the Beautiful, Jess Walton, The Young and the Restless, and Laura Wright, General Hospital. Before we dive too far in, I should just say this is not our predictions podcast. That will be coming later in the year. So this is more of just reaction. Jamie, what did you think of this category?
I think it's an overall good list. As usual with Y&R, and we'll talk about this all the way through, but I'll stick with just this one. Some of the placement of people is a little wonky. Everybody knows I adore me some Jess Walton and Jill Abbott and have been screaming about her being placed back on this show and made viable on and off forever. But Jess Walton was not a lead on The Young and the Restless in 2016. Mm-hmm. Jess Walton was a supporting actress. It could be construed that she was a guest star because she kind of came and went. This reminds me more of when Jeannie Francis came back during the whole Laura wakes up from her coma and, you know, remarries Luke and then goes back into her coma. And Jeannie won the Emmy that year, right?
I believe so,
but
yes.
But didn't she win in... Let me look this up to make sure. I'm pretty sure she won in supporting.
Yep.
And, I mean, to me, this is the exact same situation. I mean, no one would ever say that Jeannie Francis is not one of the, if not the most influential woman to ever appear on General Hospital, and fans adore her, and that her coming back deserved the Emmy, but she won it in supporting. So I don't know why I don't know what it is about Y&R that people don't realize it should kind of mirror the Oscars and the Golden Globes and things like that. So this to me lends to sometimes the process not having the cachet that it once did, because when you have someone who was quite obviously by any definition a supporting actress up in lead, and Amelia Heinle, who love her or hate her, if you don't like her acting, you do like her acting, whatever, I think she's become a very strong actor, and she is a lead on this show, and she was a lead on this show in 2016. Missy Claire Egan was a lead on this show in 2016. Sharon Case is a lead on this show. Amelia Heinle was the third lead on this show. Gina's in here too, and Gina was definitely a lead. So Y&R does have a lot of leads, but Jess wasn't one of them last year. She was a guest star, and so that means since she can't go in guest star, she should have gone in supporting. I think this is Nancy Lee's to lose. My prediction for not, and I know we're not doing predictions, but I think that the final list of nominees will be Nancy, Gina, Heather Tom, because she always knows how to give a good reel, Laura Wright,
Mary
Beth, and probably, I hope Christian, you know, the Emmys don't show her a lot of love, but, you know, Bo's death was pretty powerful stuff, but, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, you know, okay. Heather Tom, in my opinion, wasn't really a lead last year either, but, you know, they gave her enough material with Katie Starts Drinking Again to snatch up a
Heather
good.
Heather freaking Tom is never going to put herself in supporting.
Well, they need to, or somebody needs to tell them that. And, you know, when we talk about the next category, I'm going to have to go even there even further. But go ahead to Jillian.
Jillian, what were your reactions to this category?
Yeah, I mean, some of these people were just a little eye-opening. I thought, I'm like, Jess Walton, Jamie summed it up perfectly, as with the same thing with Heather Tom. I mean, but, you know, I guess they can say, you know, with Katie thinking that Brooke and Bill are creeping and her drinking can just gave her just enough. But, yeah, Jess Walton really shouldn't be on here. I'm fine with it overall, except for Jess, possibly Heather. And
I was excited to see Jen Lilly nominated, just because this category tends to be dominated by people who are long-term veterans, and so it was nice to see a young fresh face, because she did have a lot of screen time last year. The next category,
she did. I'd argue she was still supporting, though. I mean, and I love her character and I love her story, but
they bumped her down. Yeah,
I don't think by any definition Teresa was a lead character on the show. Hope, my God, yes, was lead. Kayla, yeah, that she's, you know, definitely is in a lead role on there. I always felt Teresa was more supporting, but congrats to her, because I did enjoy the character, and she is a really strong little choppy actress, and I can't wait to see what she does next.
Outstanding lead actor in a drama series. This is a list. Maurice Bernard, General Hospital. Peter Bergman, The Young and the Restless. Scott Clifton, The Bold and the Beautiful. Billy Flynn, Days of Our Lives. Roger Howarth, General Hospital. Vincent Irizarry, Days of Our Lives. Christian LeBlanc, The Young and the Restless. John McCook, The Bold and the Beautiful. Christoph St. John, The Young and the Restless. Jason Thompson, The Young and the Restless. Jamie, read that list. There's about five men who should be in supporting.
Yeah, I mean, and most of them will be on Y&R.
It's and like B&B.
Y&R is the show that just really flat out refuses to have people put themselves where they belong. And, you know, we had Christian LeBlanc on, and we've interviewed him about this. And what it is, and this has been explained to me over and over again, and the explanation just doesn't hold water for me, is that once you've won as a lead, you're not going to put yourself back down in supporting. Well, my Jeannie Francis example just... I'm sorry, Jeannie Francis was a bigger daytime star than any of you people will ever be. She was on Newsweek, for God's sakes. She had 50 bazillion people watch her TV freaking wedding to a dude in a perm. If she could suspend her ego enough to put herself in the right category, then so can you people.
Yeah, for 2007, she won the
outstanding. I'm sorry, it's freaking ridiculous. I love you, Christian LeBlanc. You are the funniest, greatest guy in the game. You are the biggest cheerleader on Y&R, but I can't for the life of me remember a scene you had in 2016 that even would denote you putting yourself in lead actor. All you did was try to get Adam out of jail last year. How in the hell does that denote a lead actor pre-nomination when Eric Braeden isn't on this list? Justin Hartley did not put himself up, which is a sin and a shame, considering that This Is Us is so freaking hot. You know, good Lord, that could have bought Y&R and the Emmys so much free publicity. But I'm like, Christian was not a lead in 2016. That's absurd. Peter Bergman was a lead. Maurice is always a lead, and they're always going to give Maurice a big story to cry about one of his children getting plugged in the head or jumping off a building or whatever so that he gets in here. I'm glad Scott Clifton is where he belongs, because he is the lead of Bold and the Beautiful. Billy Flynn was a lead. I like Billy Flynn a lot. Some of the soap press loves him more than I do. I think he's a good actor, but I think he's a good actor. I don't see a lot of the same, you know, wow that a lot of people do, but I do think he's a good actor. I think he's cute. I think he's serviceable. It is what it is. Very happy to see Roger Howarth here. He is, in my opinion, one of the best actors in daytime working, so he should be here. Vincent Irizarry definitely got enough screen time to be lead, but, and you know, this is about acting, so I want to wait and see what was submitted, and I haven't. I the character of Deimos is such a turd. It just doesn't work on any level of anything. I haven't seen anything that, you know, speaks to me as good acting or good. Not that he's, I mean, you know, I just haven't seen any material that says, wow, this character works on this show. John McCook, it's, I see it a little different than Jess. Yes, he was not a lead last year, but when they gave him a meaty story, he definitely carried the whole, you know, Forrester's reacting negatively to Quinn and his, you know, eviscerating them. So to me, that does feel, that's for that story. And, you know, Brad Bell does write in vignettes. You know, Brad Bell does nowadays. The reality is Brad Bell does write full stories in 2 weeks now, you know, whereas Jess kind of came back to support the story of Billy and Phyllis's affair imploding. You know, John McCook did have a lead slot in that storyline, and I predict that that's what he, you know, that's what he had to put up, because what else would he have had? Because the rest of the year it was just like, hello, this person, I'm going to make you CEO. Hello, that person, I'm going to make you CEO. So I think the whole Quinn situation with him being so upset with the children and eviscerating them at the board meeting, that was some good, powerful stuff. So I ain't mad at him. He barely gets that type of opportunity. So, hey, put yourself up.
So Christoph, what do you think of, like, Jason Thompson?
Cause, like, he was definitely a lead on that show last year, definitely. I mean, he was in a front burner story opposite Gina Tognoni. She's in lead. He should be in lead. He came on. Yeah, they brought him on in a lead story. Christoph, I feel he's more supporting. Yeah. But he had those good scenes opposite Lieutenant Uhura when she was like, baby, I gave you up because I had to go on a 5-year mission to space, the final frontier. And he's like, you bitch! You know, so that was great. You know, so yay.
Jillian, what are your thoughts on this category?
You could have beat me up! You could have beat me up, mama!
I don't think Christian LeBlanc should be here. Not Christian should, like, look, no shade against him. He shouldn't be on this list, period, because he didn't have any material. He just popped in. I guess he could use the material when Victor was like, bitch, you trying to put me in jail? I'm going to come after you. I guess they could use that, but it wasn't enough for me. And Christoph St. John should have been in supporting. I didn't see anything lead worthy, but this is pretty good.
Is there anybody on this list other than Justin Hartley who you guys think are missing?
Eric fucking Braden.
Yeah, Eric.
Eric did the damn thing last year, man. Like,
Eric carried that show.
I mean, listen, we all have our druthers with Eric, Mr. I didn't know I posted that. Give me a break. But give me a break. But, I mean, that's something different. But Eric, put all your differences aside with Eric. Eric did the damn thing with that storyline where he was just so disillusioned by his family, putting him in jail, him going after them, him having moments of reflection and just, you know, when he cried a little and was like, I can't believe those little bastards put me in here. He was good.
He took some of the worst writing in daytime and made it sing. Every time someone yelled action, do they even still yell that on soap sets? I don't know. But every time Eric Braden had to be there in a scene, he was there. He wasn't phoning it in. You know, we can spot him a mile away nowadays. Mm-hmm. They get bored in these scenes, and we can tell it. Eric gave 150%.
The moment they said at action, he was like, okay, coach. He was, yeah.
He brought it. You know, it's. I've heard that his favorite phrase is, let's shoot this shit. And, you know, he was a consummate, I don't know how he is off screen, but on my TV, it never felt masturbatory like GH can with some of their lead actors. I'm just going to be real. With GH, it feels like we must get these to an Emmy nomination every year. So we must come up with scenarios to make that happen. It was just like, no, Eric is like, this is the material. I might have my opinions about it. I might go give an interview in a few months and say that it was all shit. It was all terrible, horrible shit.
But punch somebody in the face later.
But he gives it all. He does the Kim Zimmer. He is like, okay, if I have to walk into a mirror back in time, I will do it. I will do
it.
Like, but he did it. Through all of that foolishness and the fallout from those doppelgangers and troppelgangers and skedoppeldangers, he did it. He did it. You know,
This freeze out of him is really ridiculous. Like, I thought this is what the Emmy reform was for, but obviously
it just lends itself to what everybody, you know, Victoria Rowell, Michael Muni, they all got, you know, oh, they're crazy, they're evil, they're this and that for pointing out, you know, that show does really have
get information and
when it has to do with these daytime Emmy nominations. It's like, you know, that's just silly, you know, and it makes your show look silly if you're putting up all the wrong people in the wrong categories.
Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series: Eileen Davidson, The Young and the Restless; Judy Evans, Days of Our Lives; Stacey Hyduk, The Young and the Restless; Amelia Hynley, The Young and the Restless; Elizabeth Hendrickson, The Young and the Restless; Finola Hughes, General Hospital; Anna Marie Horsford, The Bold and the Beautiful; Kate Mancey, Days of Our Lives; Michelle Stafford, General Hospital; and Kelly Sullivan, The Young and the Restless. Jillian?
Okay. Love Eileen Davidson, but again, cut that out, Jackie. You know, like, you barely, you know, oh, no, it was cut that out, Victor. You know, same thing, wrong, you know, different regime and different person. Cut that out, Victor. She didn't really do anything for me that warrants her being on here. Judy Evans, I guess if you squint, I guess her storyline where she's battling her illness, you can put her on there. Stacey Hyduk was like a drive-by. Stacey Hyduk was, y'all know,
a guest star.
I love,
she should be in the guest star almost.
Yes.
She can't be in the guest star per the rules. If you've ever appeared on the show before, you cannot compete in guest star. So supporting is the place where she would be.
Yeah.
And remember, it only has to be an episode.
Yeah.
It's only a submission. It doesn't, you know, it's not about the whole year, but yeah.
I guess, because I'm like, what is your, I'm like, Patty just did a drive-by and was like, hey, bitch, that ain't your baby, and went about her business. I guess everybody else is fine by me. Kelly Sullivan, I don't know what she warrants, I guess. I mean, I guess you could use her finding out that Sharon knew about her baby. That could be the barometer. I am trying to figure out what Nina did. Was it last year when she found out that her mama was trying to get her committed?
No, that was the year before.
See, yeah. Then I really don't know. I really don't know. And I love Michelle Stafford. I don't know. I don't know.
Jamie, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's obvious that Jill Farren Phelps may have left the building, but she left her block voting playbook behind. I think it's telling, you know, Eileen was a lead on Days and, you know, was rewarded as such, if I make no mistake. Didn't she win in lead a few years ago? Wikipedia is my best friend. But I have to look. Let me see. I just want to make sure, because, you know, that's the one thing people will come back and be like, no, Jamie, she won an outstanding performance of a tree and a play and a partridge and a pear tree. But so
what
let me
tree
just go.
Will you be?
Yeah, she won an outstanding lead for 2014. Yeah. So I think, you know, and now, you know, Sally is back. Kay is back. These are people who wrote for Ashley in her glory day. And I'm praying that this is about to change, because I don't like to keep talking about it. But I think it's a sin and a shame that they had her. They have had her back all, you know, a couple of years now, and, you know, have done nothing with her but have her yell, stop it, Jackie, and stop it, Phyllis. Mostly it was just having Ashley be very hypocritical, considering she broke up the most famous marriage in Genoa City herself. And, you know, I loved her at Victor's Affair, but all she's done is run around being a harpy hypocrite at Phyllis when she should be saying, look, Phyllis, I get it. I once tore up a marriage too. So you tore up yours. I'm not going to judge you. You hurt my brother, so I can't stand you right now. But I'm not going to be some shrill, angry hypocrite to you, considering I slept with Nikki's husband. But they didn't do that. Anyway, Judy Evans definitely deserves to be here. You do not have to squint. Her storyline in the middle of the triangle with Ned.
I knew it.
Justin and Lucas, and you know, and then finding out that, you know, her BRCA gene did prove that she has breast cancer. Judy Evans did the doggone thing. She totally deserves to be here. Stacey Hajduk also deserves to be here because Patty Cake was a riot. And then, you know, you just have to have a submission reel. And Patty Cake acting crazy and tearing up that insane asylum, and then Paul coming, you know, Patty Cake, what's the matter with you? You was doing good. You were drawing pictures, Patty Cake. Polly! And then, you know, being the one that just gaslit the heck out of Sharon all year. Now, yeah, the storyline ended with a whimper, but that wasn't her fault. That was Chuck Pratt's. She did the doggone thing. Amelia should be in lead. Amelia Hindley is a lead actress. She is the female protagonist of this show. So it's silly that she has to put herself in supporting because of politics. So maybe she chose, I don't know. But, you know, Hendrickson came back strong. I mean, she deserves, like Eric Braden, in my opinion. She had some pretty absurd storylines. You know, Chloe went from being a quirky fashionista to La Femme Nikita, putting on hooker boots and blowing up buildings and sneaking through secret tunnels. I'm like, where did Chloe learn all them skills? The Fashion Institute of Technology teaches stealth operations now. So, you know, look, she deserves it just for reading Chuck Pratt's script and seeing where Chloe goes and shoots Adam with a tranquilizer dart and blows him up. And not busting out laughing in his face and farting as loud as she could. She deserves a Daytime Emmy for that alone. Fanola, I think, is a lead. But hey,
yeah.
I think this is smart, though. Sometimes people are smart. It's like, Fanola is a lead, but let's just be real. Lead on GH with Nancy and Laura, and they had bigger front burner stories.
And she also took a lot of vacation over the summer.
Yeah, she takes child, but Tony Geary used to take them summer vacations, and
he also didn't always.
He took summer loving time. Look, he was like Grease. Summer loving had me a blast. But yeah, Fanola came back and did the thing, so she should be here. Love seeing Anna Maria Horsford here. You know, Vivian finding out. I don't know if that's what she submitted, but you know, when she found out her husband had been hoeing on her and that her little baby's best friend was her half-sister. Now, you know, B&B took her, you know, made her a little tame because every black woman I knew would have burned up that motel room with him in it. Kate Easy was a lead. I totally think she was a lead. Now, her reel is probably going to be out freaking standing because she played the heck out of Abigail losing her mind. And, you know, crazy Abigail was a hoot when she set that boy on fire. She's like, and I love that because soap operas are always known for having someone, whether it be Stefano or Helena, you know, or Sheila Carter. We always have these stories where villains just continue to torment their victims for years and years and years. And that drove my grandmother crazy because she would say, why don't Marlena just shoot Stefano in the face and be done with it? So I love that they went there with Abigail. She's like, you're not going to just keep on bothering me, boy, with these sculpted eyebrows. Now, I done told you to leave me alone and you won't leave me alone. So I'm going to tie your ass up in this bed and set you to hell on fire. I bet you'll leave me alone then. I love that. Stafford. So Nina, she had the breakup with Franco, and you have to remember Michelle spent a lot of time at YNR. She knows how to give good reel. Her best friend is Christian LeBlanc. Look, they know how to give good reel. Yes, Nina didn't have a lot of strong storylines, but again, she's a pro. She knows how to give good reel.
And she didn't put herself in the wrong category either.
She is supporting, and she is one of the best actresses working in daytime. I can't really think of them, you know, that was a standout for me, except for maybe the Franco, but I'm sure there was one. Because again, this is the
I thought about it. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, Stafford, Christian LeBlanc, Heather Tom, those are the type of people we joked about it a few years ago. Even if Brad just had Heather Tom at that dinner scene at the Forrester Mansion and she hadn't had storyline in 6 months, Heather Tom is like, oh, bitch, I'm finna get an Emmy reel. Because I'm going, when they come, when Hope says, Aunt Katie, tell us what you're thankful for this year. She gonna grab the person's hand and look at him. Look, remember when she grabbed Maya's hand and started crying? I just want to say that I'm so happy that you black people have moved to Beverly Hills and become a part of my life. Now, we hadn't seen her in a scene with them black people once. But Heather Tom is like, oh, is this a chance for me to get a reel out of this? So I'm going to do it. So her, Christian, and Stafford, they know how to give good soap. They know how to get a reel. So, and Kelly Sullivan.
I just thought about Stafford. Stafford could use the reel where she wants to have a kid with Franco, and Franco, like,
oh yeah,
it when she goes off on him. She's like, you know, you don't want a kid with me. You want to raise that damn Kiki. And when he gave her a dog, and she was like, you gave me a dog. Yeah, like, she got.
And that was this past season, because the years are starting to blur. That was this last year with the dog.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
that'll probably be it then. Kelly Sullivan. Sullivan, look. I feel bad half the time because I don't think Kelly Sullivan is a terrible actress. She has had two terrible roles. I don't think she's a bad actress. I think she's a solid actor. In fact, you know, had she ever been given a new role that, like, or maybe a historical role, like if she had come on Days as one of the missing Hortons that we know and love and got a chance to kind of establish her own character, as she's been,
Sarah
Kelly
Weber.
Sullivan has, she was miscast, in my opinion, as Connie Falconeri, because the previous Kate and Connie was so flawless, and we had such a, for me at least,
a
I had such an affinity to that character the whole, the fact that she started off as this girl from the around the way girl who reinvented herself, and, you know, that was so aspirational, and then Ron, gotta love him. You know, when he read that, oh, she thought she was two people, or, you know, that she was one person and changed into another. That never screamed dissociative identity to me, because it just screamed more like how Tiffany on General Hospital changed her name, and how Felicia Gallant used to be Fanny Grady, and how Lucinda Walsh changed her name from whatever it used to be and became, you know. But Rod saw that as an opportunity to do DID and make her crazy, and
oh,
I don't think
Lord.
That...
Why did you have to bring that back up?
Well, I'm just giving, because Kelly has, and then on GA, and then on YNR, they just smushed her into that canvas, and just, you know, it was Jill doing Jill. Jill Farren-Phelps loves to do that. She loves to come to new shows and bring her favorites from other shows and just force them on the canvas. And so a lot of it was alienating, because we want to see our beloved characters like Lauren Finmore and Ashley get more to do, and it was Sage. But, you know, to be fair, Kelly's not a terrible actor, so I'm sure she turned up a good reel. And soaps always reward these baby switch payouts. They never get tired of seeing how could you do this to me? You stole my baby! And I'm like, really? Y'all should just look. Everybody should put a microchip in their babies, like in utero, because you know your baby gonna get switched in a soap town. But anyway, yeah. So I can see that as I don't have a problem with her being on this list.
Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series: John Aniston, Days of Our Lives; Oba Babatunde, The Bold and the Beautiful; Steve Burton, The Young and the Restless; Sean Kerrigan, The Young and the Restless; Chad Duhl, General Hospital; Brighton James, The Young and the Restless; Wally Kurth, Days of Our Lives; Jeffrey Vincent Parise, General Hospital; James Reynolds, Days of Our Lives; and Dominic Zampronia, General Hospital. Jamie?
John Aniston is front and center, you know, very much not in the same way that Eric Braeden is, you know, as they're both peer groups, but Victor Kiriakis is on all year long. He had that good stuff with Deimos hurting Maggie and he having to basically give up his fortune for the woman he loved. Oba Babatunde, great stuff all year last year, with the fallout from having an illegitimate daughter. Definitely deserves to be on here. Steve Burton, I consider a lead, but this is smart and strategic for Steve to put himself here. Dylan McAvoy had a ton of material. Finding out that that baby wasn't his, he did a good job during that. Sean Kerrigan, as Stitch, had to deal with the bust up of his marriage to Abigail and learning that his son is, you know, a future serial killer. That was some good chops. Chad Duhl, it could be construed that he's a lead, but, you know, that young man knows how to give good soap. He knows how to blast into you. Morgan's death gave all of the people in that storyline a good bit of material to do. Anytime he's in scenes with Mo and Laura, it's gold for him. Brighton James had a lot of good stuff last year with Hillary. And, you know, their War of the Roses marriage, it's becoming that this year, but, you know, I'm glad to see a brother on this fist pound. Wally Kurth really could have been nominated for two shows. That would have been awesome. You know, he pretty much serves the same purpose on both shows, but he had a bit of a meatier storyline on Days, and, you know, he and Judy Evans, they just, you know, that tugs at my heart. So, and for so many years during their glory years, when Days was, you know, a ratings juggernaut, they never got this kind of love. So I'm kind of, in one way, it's like getting down to four soaps means that Days of Our Lives finally gets some Emmy love. So I think that's pretty cool. Jeffrey Vincent Parise, hey, nothing wrong with him being on here. Lord Puss knows. In boots. You know, he,
that is,
they used him all the time, you know. And now I don't know why we don't need that slash Dr. Joe Rivera, because it would be for Carlos. I mean, Carlos coming back and, you know, being really more menacing. They finally found out what to do with Carlos when they brought him back, but then they killed him again. So y'all are like, it's like South Park on that show with the killing and bringing them back as other people and stuff.
Oh my God, Kill Kitty. Yeah.
Yeah. With James Reynolds. I mean, what, Abe? Well, he definitely had some stuff with telling Theo, you stay away from Hope. I know Boy and Hope are my friends, but
he got shot in the park.
Well, that ain't, you don't really have to act to get shot, but, you know, but you stay
away from Hope.
Stay away from that fast-ass little girl. But, Dad, the Brady's are our friends. Boy, I done told you that white girl gonna get you in jail. So, because if that ain't what a black daddy would have said, stay away from that little girl. She trouble. She trouble.
Oh, my God.
She gonna get you in the graveyard. So, love that. Dominic, yeah, you know, they had the island adventure. Look, my voice just went three octaves high, so I'm just going to quit lying. I don't really know what
that is. Yes, I know.
I like Dominic. You know, he came on so strong. It's like, ooh, the next generation of soaps. But I'm sitting here like, well, he went on the island adventure with them, and,
Jillian?
I guess he got something to submit. I can't really think about it at this time.
Jillian? Oh my God, I forgot all about William DeVry. He ain't even made none of these lists. Y'all
Child, and I heard he did submit. He did put. So let me tell you, it is probably some eye rolling and neck rolling going on that set. You mother suckers didn't nominate me. I got something for that ass. I'm going to go get a hipster haircut and come up in here and wreck shop, because these Julexis fans love me more than your fans love you. And what?
Jillian, what are your thoughts on outstanding supporting actor?
This is a really good list. I like the list. It's a solid list. So I'm totally fine with all of it.
Okay.
It's a great list. I mean, but only thing is, I'm like, John Addison really should have been lead. Real talk.
Outstanding younger actress in a drama series: Lexi Ainsworth, General Hospital; Camilla Banas, Days of Our Lives; Rainn Edwards, The Bold and the Beautiful; Haley Aaron, General Hospital; Olivia Keegan, Days of Our Lives; Hunter King, The Young and the Restless; Chloe Lanier, General Hospital. I'm not sure how this is pronounced, so I apologize. Alvia Alan Lind, The Young and the Restless, Paige, Cersei, Days of Our Lives. Jamie?
I think it's Olivia. I think it's Olivia Alan Lind.
Well, if it is, I apologize. Jamie?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, you know, these move on right to the blue ribbon, so all of these people will be nominated. So that is a healthy-sized list. Lexi had a lot of good stuff with Christina coming out as bisexual.
Like that carpet.
Very, you know, she's a strong little actress. Loved that story. Camilla Banas is a breath of fresh air every time I watch Days. And I can remember when I couldn't stand her.
Oh, she's come so far since One of the Lions.
She's come a long way.
She's a true daytime success story.
Yeah, she is, you know, just one. In fact, Luke knows this. I'm working on a wishful casting for the new Dynasty.
Oh, that would work. That would be a good one.
Luke and I were talking about, you know, this is the CW, so they're obviously going to go 20 years younger. Like, you know, Blake was in his 60s on the original one, so... Sure enough, I got my hands on the script, and they are much younger. So Crystal, for the new one, is only 30. Crystal Carrington.
Jamie, I want to pause for a second. What did I tell you when I was suggesting these people, and you're like, they're too young?
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't have to pause. You're right. I was like, because I just couldn't
He
wrap
was like,
my
Luke,
mind
they will
around.
Never do it that young.
I'm like, how could Blake have built an empire? But, you know, you're right. Because, like, I just saw that they're about to do a IPO with Snapchat, and boy did it make me feel I have done nothing with my life when I googled that CEO, and he is 26 years.
Yeah, I mean, Forbes has a list of Forbes always has a list of people under 30 who are like doing things, and I saw it, you know, the last time, and I was just like
26. I hadn't even figured out how to put the right money in the right places in my 401k yet. I'm like, this guy's already about to... Anyway, so they are decidedly younger. So since Crystal is only supposed to be 30, Camilla Banas would be, you know, because she is Cristal now. See, yeah. I was all like, you know, maybe Vanessa Marcel, but no, Crystal is 30 in the pilot. I got my hands on it. So yeah, I think Camilla Banas would be great as the new Crystal. Jennings, well, I guess she won't get to be Jennings. She'll have to be Crystal Jimenez, maybe. See, look, they can ask me for help.
Ortiz.
Oh, God, that's so overdone and cliche.
Herrera.
Jimenez! She was Crystal Jennings in the original, so it needs to be a J. Anyway, I love Camilla Banas. She gives good soap. She's all about Chad and loving him and had to deal with his wife coming back from the dead. And adios, mijo. Her brother is smuggling microchips in purses. And her dad is Cruz Castillo. And I just love her. So I'm glad she's on here. Rainn Edwards. She gets to have a lot of good story with...
Oh, my God. I was going to say, what is young Miles Gaston didn't make the list.
No, he didn't. But Rainn Edwards is solid, definitely solid. You know, her best friend turned out to be her sister, and she won't stop hunching a boyfriend. That's a lot of good soap story. I wish they would get her some more clothes to wear instead of them little culottes, because I don't know why she's wearing.
Oh, my God, what is with you in culottes?
You don't wear culottes to the office. Get that girl some business clothes. She's trying to work in business. Why is she all in them booty shorts? That ain't what people wear to the office place.
I don't know why they do that with her, because on the red carpet, she dresses.
She's gorgeous. She's such a little beauty queen.
It's like, definitely. Yeah.
Costume. Get her out them coochie cutters. And now,
okay.
I
would just like to point out, when I used to complain about the wardrobe, y'all said I was mean.
Well, no. Okay. This was when she was an intern. Now she's supposed to be a PR assistant. And I'm like, what PR assistant comes in there with coochie cutters on? It's like, I'm surprised Ridge don't be staring right. Ooh, you got a new
I complained about it when I first joined this podcast. I complained about their wardrobe. I've been doing
the Bold
podcast
and Beautiful has had a terrible wardrobe for decades.
You complained about B&B's wardrobe. You want to cook it for that?
Yes, I know, damn it, because I've been complaining.
Haley Aaron is a lead actress on the Bold and Beautiful.
You mean on General Hospital?
Here, Haley Aaron, it could basically say General Hospital featuring Haley Aaron. Because, you know, that girl. But anyway, she got to be a younger. And she deserves to be out here. I know she catches a lot of hell. But she's a solid enough actor.
She's going to be the one who wins this
in
category.
She and the little boy that plays Dylan have really, the fans really warmed up to them. Look, once they got her away from
them.
Good for them. So, doesn't mean they've improved much.
I think she's improved. She's definitely improved. Luke, you don't never.
I said much. I said much. Why don't you back up and re-listen to this podcast about 5 minutes ago? Because I literally just said that Camilla Banas was a daytime success story.
The clock struck thrice, because you get like a dog with a bone when you don't like somebody is over and over again for 40 years. But anyway, she has improved. Go back and look at her first season on The Young and the Restless, and you tell me when she was just like, hi.
I didn't say categorically she didn't improve. I just said much.
She has gotten better. Olivia Keegan, she's better than the little Sierra girl, but that's just all I got for her.
She is the one who was in that damn alley where Marlena was like, where Orpheus is like, I'm gonna put a hole in you, and she's like, let the girl go, I don't know her. Kate is all like, bitch, bye. And that stupid Claire, hey grandma, I'm like, get out of here.
Now, that's the writing, but still, yeah, she's, bless her heart. Hopefully she'll be a Camilla Banas and get better. Hunter King, now that's just going to be real. Everybody loves to hate this girl, and she is a solid actress. I don't care. I'll be, let truth be my companion in the flames. People
oh my
just
God,
don't,
really?
I don't know if it's the Michael Muni stuff or what, but I see so much hateration for her on my timeline, and she's not a bad actress.
I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna be honest. She was really good at convincing me that Summer is a dumbass when it came to Lisa.
Part of why people hate her because the character is a blithering idiot. I mean, any woman.
And that's not shade to her. That's not a good thing.
And that's how they wrote her. The fact that they wrote Summer as being like, Mom, I know you're upset because you were sleeping with a man who you didn't know for 3 or 4 months, but it's not Grandpa's fault. Of course you're going to hate the actor as the character, but it's like, she's just cashing a check. It's like when I worked at Burger King, look, I didn't think that, the chicken sandwich was ever going to compete with the Whopper, but I still had to make one. So if Chuck Pratt gives you the script and it's like,
you
your
worked
mother
at Burger
saying,
King?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Well, I thought that, like, we've had discussions in the past where I thought it was something that his grandmother threatened him with having to do. I didn't realize that he had to do it. Okay.
No.
He was running that drive-thru.
I washed dishes at the Chuck Wagon Honky Tonk in New Boston, Texas.
Oh, God. I would just like to point out, whenever he talks about some things back in his Texas town, his southern accent,
every night when you're busting tables and you're hearing my little Texas tornado blowing me away.
You ain't doing that now, darling. That's what I'm saying.
I tried to take my twang out. I worked on trying to get rid of my accent. Then I moved.
Oh, get back, Loretta. That thing comes out.
So anyway, Chloe Lanier.
Blake Lanier.
I liked her in the black and white episode last year.
She wasn't not good. Tap would say.
They put up this is not her fault, but the fact that this story is supposed to recall what Sarah Brown did 20 years ago. And in my opinion, it also is supposed to kind of recall what Sarah Michelle Gellar did on All My Children as Kendall. This is the thing. She's hit or miss. Sometimes I see that a glint of what that's supposed to be, but then the other times she's just vapid and blank. And, so I don't know if that's the fact that there hasn't been a lot of motivation with the story, because I don't feel like they, I don't feel like the writers knew where they were going, whereas the Carly story and the Kendall story were so well mapped out. So it could have been the fact that she's like, okay, where am I going with this? So, you know, sometimes I see glints of that, what it's supposed to be, that Sarah Brown as Carly, that early, you know, that first season, that Sarah Michelle Gellar as Kendall Hart. But then sometimes it's like she's blank and vapid, and I don't know why Carly would not believe that she's up to something with how much she does the overplay for the underplay. She's just so saccharine. I remember the original Amy had a saying about Carly at the time. She's like, oh, you know, which is a classic saying, but she said, you just run around here acting like butter wouldn't melt in your mouth, and I know different. And, you know, this time, of course, it's Bobby, Jackie Zeman, that is on to this girl. But I feel like it's so not subtle. You know, Sarah Brown, and with Sarah Brown and with Sarah Michelle Gellar with those respective roles, they were earnest in their portrayals. I mean, you see her snarking her eyes at Carly, and I'm like, is Carly really this stupid? Shouldn't she be like, why is this little girl mean mugging me in my house? But, you know, that's all, that a lot of that has to do with the writing, but she definitely has her moments, so I'm sure she's able to pull a reel. I mean, look, Olivia Keegan is on this category, so Chloe Lanier definitely deserves to be on here. But I just wish the hype, I just wish the story and the acting and the energy lived up to the hype, because I can just remember being glued. Those were two times in the 90s with soaps, with Carly and with Kendall, and even with Sammy. When Sammy was evil, when Sammy first became evil after the John and Marlena affair, but nobody knew it but the audience. And of course, you know, James E. Reilly, God love him, you know, he didn't leave anything to chance, because whereas, you know, nowadays you don't have as much talking to yourself. This little girl does it a lot, but Sammy just let you know her motivation as soon as the parents walked away. That's right, Mom. Just go ahead and think that I'm not going to take that little baby from you and sell it on the black market, because I know it's John Black's bastard. But, you know, I don't want him to do that, but I could use some, could have used, because it's about to climax now, some what the hell is her deal? We knew that Carly wanted to pay Bobby back because Bobby was out hoeing and gave up. We knew that Kendall resented Erica Kane for putting her up for adoption, and then Erica Kane had this fabulous, glamorous life, and Kendall grew up with boring, average parents. But I'm like, well, what did Carly do to you, girl? What Carly do to you and stuff? You know, the little cult story, it had potential with, you know, because, you know, one of Patch's big stories was infiltrating and stopping a cult 20 years ago. He actually got reconstructive surgery on his eye, and the fans went nuts. And were like, we want Patch to lose that eye again. So he had to be re-injured. So when they first launched the Joey goes into a cult, I was like, ooh, this will recall Patch's cult story. Yeah, not so much. It really didn't recall that. And Joey and Paige were no Scotty Banning and Faith. You know, they, that little, you know, when they were in that stupid little cult in that little warehouse, and that, you know, day player was like, I'm going to shoot somebody. I'm like, shoot me. Just shoot me. So I don't have Jillian, to watch the rest of this episode.
Outstanding younger actress in a drama series. What are your thoughts on the category? Is Jamie being generous?
Yeah, because he thinks Haley Aaron's good. That's you. That's good. That's good for you, baby. But nope. Cool with Lexi Ann.
I don't think she's good. I don't.
Okay. Backpedal. How you doing? You're backpedaling.
I don't think it's wrong that she's on this category when, again, we're grading on a curve, and the curve is set by Olivia Keegan, and she's on here, so it is what it is.
The two of them shouldn't be on it. How about that? You won that curve by your damn self. The two of them shouldn't be on it.
Well, I'm a nicer teacher than you, obviously, would be Miss Fail, everyone. You give everyone an F.
please. I would be.
You know who gonna win. Little Miss Amazing Dolly Parton Technicolor Dreamcoat. Faith Newman is gonna win. She was the star of that show.
Yeah, she probably will win. And no problem with Lexi Ainsworth. Camila Bennis got no issues with them. Camila has come so far. She's so good. What I was saying with Hunter King, and let me reiterate that again. I don't want people to be like, oh, she's being Sabina Hunt. No, I am not. Unlike what my honky-tonk cohort just saying, I'm not mean. The way she played Summer so well.
And surprisingly, she's not referring to me, Jamie.
You are not from the South.
No, but I've got enough honky-tonk in me.
No. Yes, you do. You got a whole lot.
Shut up.
Before we turn into George and Willis. Oh, no. Luke is like, what is the Jeffersons? I did not start watching TV until 2004. This does not compute.
Moving on compute. Up. Let's move on up this list.
Yes, watch the Jeffersons. I'm so proud. I can cry.
He gave me the receipts, boy, honey.
Yes, he gave me receipts. Luke was like, put some respect on my name. I don't watch the Jeffersons.
Now, I don't think he knows that. But anyways.
What was the name of the maid, Luke? Be quiet, Jillian.
I don't remember the name of anybody. You're expecting me to remember something from the 70s? Screw you. Jillian, keep going.
Okay, so with the Summer Newman thing, this is no shade against Hunter King. This is how good her acting was. Hunter King had me like, oh, I can't stand that dumbass Summer. I'm like, oh, I patty can't make her eat peanut butter again. That is how good she was with how just naive and just such a jackass when it came to Victor and when it came to Luca. That is how good she played that role. So if she was to upset this, I wouldn't mind that.
Well, didn't she win last year? It's hers to lose.
Yeah. Jade, I'm like, the only Jade I know is, you know, from the 90s.
I'm only one woman, baby. I'm just one treatment like a lady. Oh, sorry, Jillian said.
Jay, don't walk away.
Don't walk away. Come on, Jay. Don't walk away, boy. My love won't hurt you.
Okay, outstanding younger actor in a drama series. Jared Breeze, The Young and the Restless, Brian Craig, I'll Break Your Knuckles, General Hospital, Rome Flynn, The Bold and the Beautiful, Pearson Fode, The Bold and the Beautiful, James Lastovic, Days of Our Lives, Kyler Pettis, Days of Our Lives, Taquan Richmond, General Hospital, Anthony Turpel, The Bold and the Beautiful, Jillian?
I will just have to say this before I dive in here. You have just been on fire today. Like,
that boy tweets me. Look at her. I didn't say that, boy. Don't you tweet at me.
I got you, Luke.
Listen, like, I've always respected Brian Craig as an actor, but that does not mean his behavior on Twitter has been appropriate.
You're a lover, not a fighter. You'll back off. See, I'm like, I'm finished that missing.
No, I ignore people. Jillian, go ahead and give us your thoughts.
We're going to be squapping. Because I know how to do the windmill. Wah! Okay. Jillian, back to you.
Oh, that kid who played Jared Breeze, who played Max. Oh, he played Max so sinister. So I'm not mad at him being on this. Morgan. I mean, Brian Craig, this is the thing. We're not, you know, disputing that Brian Craig's a good actor. He's a good actor. He's just a little full of himself and needs to settle down. He needs to just settle it on down now. I would scratch some of the Days kids on here. Two of them, like Kyler and Joey Johnson. I'm like, y'all just didn't know. Well, James, I'm like, y'all were just too... Y'all just didn't do it for me. Y'all didn't impress me much. Like, I'm kind of surprised that, Or is he too old for a younger actor? The kid that plays JJ isn't on here.
We should just be celebrating that Brighton McClure is not in this category any longer.
Oh, Brighton 30 now. Brighton old. He said I'm old. But is the kid who plays JJ too old to be in this category?
JJ who?
On Days. JJ Casey Moss. Days.
JJ.
Casey Moss.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank. Oh. I don't know, but he didn't really do much last year but get hunched off screen by that girl and lose his memories. Now, he is old enough. Ooh, so I don't know. Maybe, I mean, he's in the category. He's only 23, so I don't know. Maybe they didn't put him up, or maybe he didn't put himself up.
I'm like, but y'all don't want to put him up, but y'all putting some of these other people up. Get out of here.
Okay. Jamie, what are your thoughts on this final category?
I think it's Brian Craig's to lose, no matter how he behaves on social media.
Yeah, I agree.
He is an incredible actor, and hopefully, because he's still young. Because here's the thing about Hollywood. I mean, daytime has become, we're so close-knit with the fans, and the actors tend to intermingle way more. But if being a hot mess would keep you from success, Marlon Brando, Sean Penn, Christian Bale, the list goes on, would never have gotten anywhere. Now, you know, I wouldn't be on Twitter. I'm a break your knuckles thing, that lines up with every bad boy actor since the beginning of time. Now they're just on Twitter, and that was wrong and stupid and blah, blah, blah. But I was more appalled with him trying to sell products to fans on Twitter, and that's a problem with all of GH. I'm just going to be real.
Say that he's not the one who started that.
So
you know, and he also made fans pay for a chat session with him. Like,
and but you know, again, that's not, he learned from Steve Burton and them started that mess a long time ago. If for $50, you can, I'm gonna Skype with you. Why I want to Skype with you? Why I'm gonna pay some money to Skype with you for? You gonna have sex with me if I spend $50 with you? Why I wanna look at you on a video? Ooh, I see your face. So I can look at you on my TV. Who the hell cares? So GH needs to stop all of that. I'm not talking about, now I'm differentiating here. I'm not talking about like Christian Alfonso with her jewelry line. That is a product. You learned that from LaLucci. Yes, sell your products. I'm not talking about Michelle Stafford with her makeup line. That's a business. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, hey, I got a guitar that I need to move real fast. Any of y'all fans want to buy it? That's tacky, and that ruins the allure and the glamour.
Oh, my, no. I'm just going to be real. What was tacky? What was tacky was when he won, when he was nominated, they only gave him a ticket, and you had to pay for the other ticket to go, and he wanted Kelly to go. Fine, you want your lady to go. You want your old lady to go. You know, if the shoe was on the foot, I want my man to go with me, too, if I got nominated for something. When he was making fans pay for her to go,
that
I thought that
stuff
was tacky.
Tacky and egregious.
And he got an attitude. When
And the thing of it is, you know, that was the same thing. Justin Hartley and Chrishell Stouse had to deal with that. I'm sorry, but Justin Hartley is a bigger star. He had, you know, it doesn't matter. That's just because of the economics of the
what
daytime.
What do you mean Justin Hartley had to deal with that?
They were, you know, a lot of actors were complaining about, you know, not being able to get second tickets for free last year. They, you know, which, you know, I get it. You work really hard for that industry, and that is, you know, that's kind of not, you know, that again, that
kinda
also is helping.
But the
GH actors overall have got, there needs to be a reining in of all this. Well, you know, if you pay me $75, I'll get on Snapchat with you. That shit is tacky. I know you're trying to make an extra buck, but figure some other stuff out. Do some moonlighting. Go get a guest spot on Murder, She Wrote like they did in the old days. You know, do something, you know, do an acting side hustle. Or be like Cameron Matheson, the hardest working man in TV. He in every Hallmark movie. He hosting the show. Get your hustle up. Quit being on here trying to get people in these pyramid schemes and shenanigans and BS. And the GH cast is just always up to doing some stuff like that. And it started with Steve Burton back in the day with that Monavie. But it's like, come on, y'all. Get a product. Move a product. Like Hope.
Well, technically, Monavie is a product, but.
Nah, well, yeah. You drank this Monavie. You going to have some abs. I drank some. I ain't got no abs.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Lost advertising. Shut up about that Monavie. And I don't want, no, I don't want to buy your motorcycle on eBay. Shit. Don't sell your, don't nobody want to see. Do you really think anybody would have, do you think Princess Grace would have had the allure and the elegance that she had if they had had her hey, I'm gonna be in the classifieds. Y'all wanna buy my old cutlery collection? No, that's tacky. That ruins the allure and the magic of Hollywood. Don't be on there trying to sell bullshit on Twitter unless it's a product. If you have developed a product, you got a makeup line, you got some jewelry, you got some caftans, like my Brooke Logan got her caftans and stuff, that's fine. Move your product. But don't be on here trying to sell time with yourself. That's what whores do. That's what hookers do. You know, you go mess
it's
around.
It's hard out there for a pimp, Jamie.
Somebody going to show up for that dinner that they think, and they're going to be like, uh-uh. You ain't sucked me off yet, so wait, I paid $100 for this dinner with you. Stop doing that.
Okay.
That's what whores do.
Okay. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this pre-nomination
podcast. Oh, no. I have not talked about the rest of the nomination list. So, Pearson Fodey, great guy. I think he definitely deserves to be on here with all the stuff that happened with Thomas and Caroline and him fighting to be in his father's life. I mean, be the father to his baby, Rome Flynn. Definitely had good story with the triangle with the sisters and having to adjust to, you know, the baby story. I think James Lastovic had some good scenes. He's one of those that started off good and then kind of got a little green. He kind of reverse went green.
Yeah.
Tyler had good stuff after Abe got shot. And on a side note, y'all should follow him on Snapchat.
No.
He was just the most hilarious little boy. I'm not talking y'all meaning you and Luke. I mean in the audience. I love his
voice. I know who you mean, though.
Ed. Taquan always gives a good thing when he... Now, the thing of it is, they ain't giving him... You know, he always turns in solid material. Taquan is one of the best younger actors in daytime, but they don't give him much to do. He did have a lot of good stuff with the Morgan death because he, you know, they had TJ being the one trying to stop him. Anthony Trapel... He's a good addition to the show. He's a solid actor. He holds his own in scenes, but I really hope
really have
in
much.
2017 that he gets to do more than say, come on, Mom, you know you want to marry Dad again. Stop this thing with Spencer. And I'm like, why are you calling him Spencer like Ridge does and you're 14? Call that man Mr. Spencer, little boy. You know, but... I think he's a good little actor. So a lot of times, you know, this category isn't what it used to be. I mean, this is the category that Sarah Brown and Heather Tom and Sarah Michelle Gellar used to win when they were, and my Anne Hesh won in this category when they called it Outstanding Ingenue. And
there
I mean, those women.
Boy, you rapping really, your Anne, boy.
Always. Best, one of the best to ever do it, and did it with two people front burner for 4 years, and what, and she was not coming on to go, hey, Donna, don't you think you should get back with Michael? Because back then, shows wrote canvases, so just because you were 20, they didn't just have you coming on to go, oh my God, like, totally, I have big breasts. You actually got stories back then if you were 20 years old, like Kim Delaney did, like Debbie Morgan did. Some of the biggest stars in this genre were technically teen stars in terms of their storylines at the time. Marcy Walker as Liza. You know, now, it's so funny, and it's like, after Brian Franz left daytime, everyone knows how Brian Franz was very ageist in, you know, and I don't want to say he, well, let me take that back. Madison Avenue decreed to this genre that they only cared about younger viewers. So Brian Franz, I guess being, trying to be a good serviceman, tried to force his soaps to write to that. And so that led to a lot of the vets being pushed out of the door. Barbara Bloom, to a similar degree, was also obsessed with younger viewers. Since they've been gone, if you've noticed, there's been a shift. And our vets have been getting really good material, which that is the way it should be. But I, for the life of me, don't know why it has to be either or. It's really sad that a show called The Young and the Restless hasn't really written anything decent for its younger stars in years.
Is neither young nor restless?
We're hopefully getting a change of that with the new regime. And, you know, General Hospital always has their younger people on, but Frank loves this revolving door of storytelling, and that doesn't lend itself. When you see TJ three times a year, it's kind of hard to stay connected. Or, you know, that those three fans that are always tweeting me about Parker and Alexis's oldest girl. I'm like, I don't know when y'all gonna get to see him again. Gina Shelley gave an interview like 2 months ago and said, oh, definitely we're gonna do more with them. I ain't synced for them yet.
Okay.
GH has one of the best casts in the business, and they're gonna mess around like with the young man that plays TJ Taquan. They're going to mess around and lose a couple of cats.
They're going to go ahead and book other stuff. Brad is guilty of that, too. If you think about some of the people who are dominating Hollywood right now, the actress who's the lead on Jane the Virgin and one of her love interests, both were on Bold and the Beautiful. It's like,
One of them? Well, I know Gina, but which boy was on B&B?
Justin Baldoni was on there. He tried to slip Hope a roofie and bother her. You don't remember that?
Oh my God!
That's no hope. Why, she was drunk, but somebody stopped him and said, "Not today, Satan."
And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Write us a review in iTunes. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Cocktails and canopies.
So long.